Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Okay, Josh.
Yeah?
How you doing today?
Well, you got my correct mic up. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Those of you that don't know, every time that opening's playing, he's over there fiddling with knobs
I'm
and shit.
I'm always fiddling with knobs. It's what I do.
It's like, would you quit it? Okay, the levels are fine. Would you stop?
No, they're not. They're not fine. They must be better. Always.
Well,
so, wait a second. I'll tell you what.
Well, we got to do the Adam and Eve.
I know. Hang on. Let me get to adamandeve.com here. Let me see. www.andconnect. Just a minute. Hang on.
Anytime now.
Hang on, it'll get there. Okay, all right. Now, hang on. Wait, let me get the AOL has to load.
Fuck you, AOL.
Right, well, while it's loading, good lord, there are a lot of pictures. This is really going to slow this thing down. Go ahead and what do they get with Adam and Eve?
Go to adamandeve.com, preferably on like broadband or something. And use the promo code STATIC, and you get 3 free DVDs, 50% off of a single item, free shipping in the U.S., I almost had a brain fart there, and a free mystery gift just for using the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com. It's just that simple. Now, we're not talking about computers specifically today, although they're going to come up.
Yep.
But, oh, Jesus, really?
No.
Well, what we want to do is, there was a Geek Juice that Scott and I recorded. By the time this airs, it'll be a few weeks ago, titled We Got Old. And it got me thinking of tonight's topic, Scott, that basically there are things that we've experienced in our lifetime that the modern generation has no concept of at all.
None. And that dial-up sound is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you play that for somebody who's in high school right now, and they're gonna go, "Huh? What is that dubstep?"
Yeah. Don't make me play it.
I won't. But I'm just saying that, like, I met one of my son's friends the other day who has never owned a CD. Their entire music buying life has been downloads. And I started to think, has it been that long?
No, it hasn't, but things move, you know, that much quicker now. I mean, you know, especially when it comes to music, because there really has been this huge change, just like in our lifetime, there's been a few changes when it comes to music. I mean, you and I were around for the vinyl to cassette move over.
Yep.
And that was a big deal because cassettes were small. You could play them in your car reliably now. And
yeah, it was really going down a bumpy road trying to play an LP in your car just didn't work the way it should have.
You know, they had in-dash LP players.
I know that. A friend of mine's dad had one, and I was just like, you know, conceptually, this is a stupid idea, just on concept alone.
You know, and you guys, I know all of you that are, you know, our age or maybe even 10 years younger, you had one of those little Discman CD take it with you players that was always like skip resistant. No,
it wasn't. No. All you needed was one pothole to go, and you're like three tracks over all of a sudden.
And well, imagine that on an LP, it was even worse, you know, and then you had to pick up the needle and move it.
I think theoretically the LP thing was more for taking your girl out to like the parking place
and
you know you put on the LP when you stopped the car.
Yes.
I think that was the concept, but that's not what people really thought of it
right.
with.
But so we had the LP to tape switch over, then we had the tape to CD switch over, which, you know, there for a while we weren't sure if CDs were going to come out the winner because we had mini disc and we had...
You had all those other weird...
DAT and a couple other... Yeah, those really...
But see, you'll notice something weird. Like in the LP to tape switchover, those two things coexisted for quite a long time. CD to tape switch over, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, so much. CD kind of went, fuck you.
There were, it was from about 1987, 88 until about 1992-ish, 1991, 92, that you just saw tapes just disappear from.
Yeah. Even into the late 90s, because there's one point that people make fun of, like even in like Tarantino's Jackie Brown, when he goes into the tape store. And he's just fighting in the wall of tapes when he finds the Delphonics tape.
Yep.
People are like, oh my God, so dated. It's 97, dude. Come on.
Yep. And then, anyway, so we did the tape to CD switch over, which was a big deal. And now we've kind of done that CD to MP3 switch over, thanks in large part to the iPod and to other portable music players, MP3 players.
Am I just an old man screaming at the sky, or does it hurt? Does it break your heart just a little bit to know that there are people in high school today that have never owned a CD? Does that break your heart just a little bit as a music fan?
Not really. What breaks my heart even more so is that there is an even larger generation that will never know the warmth of an LP. On a good clean record on a good record player.
We're gonna come across as hipsters here, but I'm sorry. I'm not disagreeing with you. LPs sound better. They do. Like the sound of even with a cassette. That slight.
Yeah,
it adds to me. Maybe it's just my ears because I grew up listening to, say, the LP version of Frankenchrist or something. When I hear it on CD, it's too clean.
See, now I'm just the opposite. I don't like cassettes, and I never really liked cassettes because of that. Even if you put a blank cassette in a tape player,
you're getting what's basically analog feedback.
Yeah, it's analog feedback. It's a little bit of magnetic feedback. It's a little bit of engine noise from the capstans moving, and a little bit of the noise of the tape actually sliding side to side on the head. You get a little little white noise to it. I never really cared for that. I grew up when I was very young. LPs were the thing, and that's what we had in our house. And my dad kind of went from LPs to CDs. He didn't really like cassettes, but my mom and my sister had tons of them. But to me, yeah, when it comes to either CD or MP3. There is, unless they're recorded at extremely high bit rates, there's a warmth missing. There's something that you get from a good clean LP. And yes, I know that people are out there going, yeah, but you know, you own a vinyl record for 5 seconds and you're going to get hit, you know, hisses and pops and whirs from, because
not if you have a good needle.
Well, no turntable is perfectly straight up and down either. There will always be a little bit of wobble from side to side. And normally you can't pick it up, but every once in a while, especially on an older record player, you really get a wobble from side to side, and your music does this kind of sound, you know, to it. So yeah, I know that there are ups and downs to both, but there is a warmth to LPs that you just don't get with digital music today.
I think a cassette has that same kind of warmth, in all honesty.
No, close, but that hiss, even of a good metal tape, and when I say metal tape, I don't mean like Slayer. I mean like
like for an example, I still have my original Frankenchrist cassette in my car, okay? And when I listen to that, and then I listen to the CD I've got of that, the cassette has more, it has more bass to it than the CD version does. And even if I go to the CD version and digitally adjust the bass, it doesn't sound the same. It just sounds more hollow and tinny than the cassette does. Maybe that's because I listened to that cassette for 20 goddamn years. Literally, the same cassette. It still has not fucking broken.
Amazingly.
I have cassettes that I had when I was like 8 years old that still are together.
You know, I think my mom still has a copy of Mannheim Steamrollers Fresh Air 5. that came out in the late 80s that she still listens to every once now and then.
Well, and then we've also got Let's Move from Music to Movies. Let's leave Laserdisc out of it for right now, because that was always kind of a niche format. That never really caught on in the mainstream.
Right.
Here, to our foreign listeners, Europe and Japan, you guys embraced Laserdisc. America really didn't.
Yeah, no. Here in the U.S.,
it was a niche format. It was like a collector's format.
We started out with Super 8, which, you know, to tell you the truth, it's kind of a neat format, and it's a fun format to shoot on every now and then, but you're missing sound. And there was always, where do you get it? At least when we were growing up, even, you know, where do you get Super 8s developed?
But,
it was hard to find anywhere.
But those Super 8 quick re-edits of old movies that you could buy out of the back of, like, Creepy or Eerie.
Oh, yeah.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein that you'd project onto a huge, giant wall.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was fucking amazing. You make your entire basement a movie theater? That's something that you can do today, but not cheaply.
Right. And then, of course, there was 32 millimeter, which took off.
Yeah.
And that was you and I have certainly had plenty of experience with both that and then the larger format. What was it, 78 millimeter? What was the big one that we did it?
Probably I'm coughing here.
I want to apologize to the audience. I was running a fever of 102 last night.
Bitch.
And it's still not really broken.
Bitch.
If I sound a little off, I apologize.
Well, I mean, like, let's leave Laserdisc out for a sec. But VHS, not only is VHS harder and harder to come across nowadays. I mean, even Goodwill is starting to phase out. Some Goodwills won't even take VHSs as donations anymore.
Right.
And they basically tell people just throw them in the trash, which, oh, God, that you might, why don't you just stab me in the brain then, throwing out perfectly good old VHS movies. But there are people that they're so, I'm going to use this word, spoiled on digital, on DVD, on especially on the generation of Blu-ray, that I've read DVD reviews where they're reviewing the movie, which looks cleaner than any VHS version has ever looked before.
Right.
And they're going, oh, it looks like crap. The video is all muddy. The audio. And I'm going, this has never looked or sounded this goddamn good since its theatrical presentation. You entitled little snot.
Yeah, consider the source of the movie. Some movies that are older that are going to get transferred over from either film or tape to DVD, you're not going to get that beautiful, clean, digital luster that you get off of one that was, you know, digital going in and digitally downloaded straight to your computer or whatever.
Or you get the opposite, which is absolutely wrecking the film, Predator on Blu-ray. So much digital noise reduction, they've removed every ounce of film grain. They all look like wax sculptures of themselves talking. They actually made it so clean, the movie is unwatchable on Blu-ray. Because they said, we can't let it look like a film anymore. It has to look like it was shot on digital. You go, this is fucking hideous. I can't watch this.
And I remember even in the early days of VHS, you know, you'd pick up a VHS from the rental, and it would still... Now, for those of you that either have never cut together a film... Or have never worked in a movie theater as a projectionist or anything.
Splicing.
Yes. What you do, and you can watch in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little bloop of a blob right at the end of the film reel.
The cigarette
and
burn.
And then it kicks over to the next reel. And they're just there. And I remember renting VHS tapes that was still in the VHS tape.
Yes,
it
was clearly taken from the film, maybe not the negative, but a film print to make that VHS version.
Right, and you'd be like, ah, real change.
Yes. The ones I like are where you'd find those real cheap flash-in-the-pan ones, like the Good Times videos that you'd get for $3 at the grocery store and stuff, where there'd be a tracking line on the you know, it's not that your VCR is not tracking it. It was not tracking it when they made the copy.
Right.
So the tracking line is on the original tape.
Right.
I love when that happens.
Oh, yeah, that happened all the time. And, of course, back when I was going to University of Evansville in the early 90s, we had a film club that every Friday we would put on a movie in the Great Hall, and people would come and you'd, you know, throw your blanket on the ground or whatever and watch the movie, and we sold popcorn and it was free to students. And we didn't have the huge projection reels that were needed to splice the film reels together. You know, we didn't have the big reels. We couldn't do it. So we had 4 or 5 projectors, depending on the film, all lined up at the screen. And when you got down to the bottom of one reel, you had to remember to go up and turn off one projector and turn the next one on in one fluid motion.
That's actually how you used to have to project movies.
Oh, yeah.
But before they had... Anyone who's never worked in a movie theater, nowadays what they have is they basically take all the separate reels and they splice them all together onto one huge, giant platter that just plays everything off.
Yep.
And then what it does is when it's spooling through the projector, it's spooling back onto another reel that all you have to, or another platter that all you have to do is then re-spool and it goes back to the top one. So
yep.
You're constantly going from one empty platter to another.
Yep.
That's not the way it was back in even the 80s. As late as that, you still had the switchovers like that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. But that was our big deal with Film Club was we always knew right where the, you know, we would be listening for lines or whatever, and then we'd climb up on the tables and take our spots.
You'd know exactly where and see, like, whenever I had to splice when I worked at the movie theater, I'd always kind of look at the last few frames so I'd know ballpark. Okay, it's a scene with Mel Gibson, you know, where Mel Gibson's standing in front of the house or something. Mm-hmm. So I'd know ballpark where the real change was going to be. Even though I didn't need to, it was just something I did.
So then we've kind of kicked over to VHS at this point, and
VHS had a reign VHS had a reign from basically the late 70s to early 2000s. I think the last VHS was made in 2004.
Yeah,
the last,
like,
commercially of, you know, mass market. They're still making niches. I mean, you can get Toxic Avenger on VHS now and stuff like that, but those are niche things for a collector's market.
Right.
So I'm saying the last commercially released VHS was Cronenberg's A History of Violence.
Really?
Yes, that was the last film commercially put out on a big VHS push.
Okay.
And nowadays, I mean, VHS is that joke format. You brought up to me before we started recording that there are people today who have no idea about taping over the broken tabs you can record on a commercially,
right,
commercial VHS.
If you buy a movie and you don't like it, you can just use the tape to tape over.
Right. And it's like people don't know what that is. People don't even know what the tab is. It's like it's that little plastic part that you snap off if you wanted to protect the tape. It was basically the VCR says, tab is missing. Do not record.
Yeah. Yeah. Tab is missing. Will not record. Oh, okay.
I've had to, you know, you have to do that sometimes. You know, like in the 90s when you're taping some show off TV, all of a sudden, you know, you get the flashing lights and it ejects the tape. You got a quick, where's the scotch tape? Where's the scotch tape?
Exactly.
Quick, I got to cover the tab.
And
I grabbed the tape
know.
With the tab broken off. Shit.
I don't know about you, but for some reason, when my family did buy blank videotapes, they always came with like 3 or 4 label sets.
Yeah.
And I eventually was just like, oh, screw it, label set. Thump.
Yeah, the big label over the tab.
Yep.
Just something to block it.
Yes.
But then, you know, like I said, there are people that don't really, there are people we worked with. So we're going back 3 or 4 years to Channel 26 here, Scott. There are people we worked with there who have never owned a VHS tape. That they are, I've always had DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me go, Which also leads to a form of weird film snobbery, too. Because, again, going back to 26, that certain director that, you know, I had lots of issues with, he was talking about some movie he wanted to see. And it was something that was not out on DVD, you know, commercially. And I brought up to him, I've got it on VHS. He goes, I'd rather not see the movie than see it on VHS. That's a kind of film snobbery. I want a VHS. If it's not on DVD, I don't even want to see it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck you then. You don't get to see the fucking movie, you film snob.
And they're...
What? You waiting for me to make a Brad Jones joke
no,
there?
No, but it's a shame because there are a lot of films out there that are just not available.
And due to rights issues, never are going to commercially. Yeah. I mean, you're never. There's always going to be a bootleg of it.
Always.
Or if you find the old VHS, if you can, you know, lower it to that level. But okay, let's move off of that. We played the computer noise at the top. There are people who it's just so easy for them that the kids of today, they don't know what it's like when your mom picked up the phone and your picture was half downloaded and you were like, Ma, now I got to reload it. Damn it. Because she just knocked you off the internet by picking up the phone.
I've got one even better than that. Now, when I was going to, when I was at University of Evansville, they had one phone per every two dorm rooms. And it was on a little swivel in the walls. So you would open up your door and there would be the phone. And they could either swivel it toward them. If they were using it, you'd open it up and just see the board. Or if you swung it around, you could use the phone.
Man, I'm thinking the end of Resident Evil here, having to put the jewels in the tiger's eyes here kind of shit.
But and in order to get online, you'd have to plug it into the phone right there because it was permanently wired where it was. It's not like you could have your own phone or whatever. And it was inevitable that I would be in the middle of either uploading homework or doing some research online or something like
that.
You
were looking at porno.
And you know, the roommates not thinking would just swivel the phone around and pick it up and get the whoosh, and they'd be all pissed at me because they couldn't use their phone, and I'd be all pissed at them because they just ruined my, you know, I was downloading mod files or whatever. And
yeah, people don't understand, like, even when it comes to just something as simple as access, people now are so used to everything's instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm downloading a movie trailer. Boom, it's right there on YouTube. I remember when I first got my computer, Scott, and I'm talking 98, maybe, that I got my first home computer. I remember trying to watch movie trailers in that fucking MOV format. I'm sorry, QuickTime has always been shit as far as I'm concerned. It would, trailer 2:30, maybe, you know, 3 mm-hmm. minutes max,
mm-hmm.
would take an hour to download.
Well, yeah, I used to.
People do, but the new generation don't understand that, Scott. They don't understand that I just want to watch the trailer for The Mummy. I will start it now. I'll start downloading it now. I'll go make dinner and watch a movie and then come back and my trailer will be ready to watch.
Well, I used to love the fact that my parents, after 10 o'clock at night, if they got a phone call, it better be an emergency.
Well, your dad was a doctor,
he had a pager and such. Oh, okay. So.
That's something else. Yeah, pager.
We'll get there. But my parents, you didn't use the phone after 10. That's just the way it was. And so I used to use a little batch program and some other stuff to just line up downloads that I wanted. So at 10 o'clock, my computer would dial in to the
because you knew the phone wasn't being used.
Right, to either Prodigy or CompuServe or whatever, you know, Genie.
No, Prodigy, some people don't even understand.
Exactly, but we had that, and I used, and it would activate the macro program that would go and click on everything and start the downloads, and then you just let it run overnight, and then in the morning, I'd have my movie trailers or music, or at the time, I was into the demo scene, so you would have demos ready to run on your computer and stuff like that, ready to go, just... You know, and people now, they don't do that. Now, it's funny because I can go to things like the Mod Archive or to demo scene things, and demos that would take 2 or 3 hours to download.
Or seconds. Just
blew it, and you've got tons of them. And then, you know, you try and run them, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this architecture because it's nothing that, you know, these were made on 386s and 486s and Pentiums and Pentium 2s.
Well, I've got old PC games that I don't dare. I mean, they're on CD, but I don't dare put them in a new computer because I had a bad experience once. I bought a PC game. I think it was on Windows. It was made for Windows 95, but I was running Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
It overwrote my Windows 98 files with the Windows 95 files necessary to play the game, which crashed the whole computer, and I had to do a system restore, and I'm like, what the fuck, game? Seriously. See, so you have to have Windows 95 to run this game? Fuck you then, game.
You see, that's why now I love things like DOSBox. And
but that's why I'm just saying I've been hit before, so mm-hmm. I'm a little gun shy. Even if I'm running it in something like DOSBox, I'm a little, I don't know, I don't want it to overwrite some file that I really, really need, some DLL or something, you know?
Delete system 32. That fixes everything.
Yeah, you don't need that. Exactly. You don't need explorer.exe, do you?
Nah.
Nah, just delete it. But another thing, like an experience that, Scott, we were 10 years old in 1985. How well do you remember 1985?
Pretty well, actually, but...
I do too. I remember the movies I watched. I remember the TV. I remember the games I played. I remember the music I listened to. I have very vivid memories of the 1980s, mm-hmm. okay? Well, slight story here. I have an original Godzilla 1985 movie poster,
mm-hmm.
and I had it framed at the Hobby Lobby here in Green Bay, framed professionally. Well, it turned out when they called me that it was ready, I was not in Green Bay, but my wife was, so I had her go pick it up. So for whatever kind of weird, you know, store reason, an employee had to carry it up front. You know, they won't let you carry it up until you pay for it,
right,
I guess.
Right.
The kid, and that's what I'm calling him, because my wife said he's 19, 20 years old. You know, my wife's older than I am, so she's older than us.
Yeah.
Just kind of kept looking at this poster like in awe of it. And then she gets to the counter, and the clerk, who she said maybe 17, 18 years old, is like, is that an original? My wife's like, yeah. She goes, 1985, I wasn't even born yet.
Oh.
And you just kind of like, really? That? I mean, yeah, it's a cool poster, but she's in awe, not so much of the poster that...
No one was alive.
It's from 1985, my God.
No one was alive back then.
And I'm just like, really? Is 1985 that? I mean, I know numerically it is that long ago, but is it really that long ago, Scott?
Yeah, it is. We've gotten old.
But fuck. God damn it.
Yeah, we've gotten old. I mean, you know, there are things that... Our first phone... In Muncie that I remember my mom teaching me how to use the push-button phone.
Oh, because you had a rotary?
Yeah, we had a
rotary. Oh, my God, I hated those even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because they always chipped my nails, always got caught in the little grooves.
Mm.
So you'd always get your fingernail caught in there. And it's always like, oh, yeah, just, you know, cram that little piece of metal right under my fingernail. Thank you very much.
Yep. And I actually remember my grandmother lamenting that... She had to upgrade. Now, this wasn't until, the mid-90s, but she hated the fact that she had to get a new phone because her phone lines in Albany no longer supported rotary dial. So she had to go out and she had to buy a push-button phone, and she hated it.
Speaking of that, do you remember, I'm going to say it's probably around the same time, early 90s, when you'd call customer service, which, by the way, actually was a person in most cases, but when it would initially be answered by a computer, it would have to send you to a separate menu if you needed to use a rotary menu. That it's like, for dial-up, press this, or, you know, push button, press
for
this.
For English, press one.
Or if you're on a rotary phone.
You know, para español marque siete. Or if you're on a rotary phone, please stand by.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, do they? And it's just like, I didn't even think of that till you mentioned, but it's right around that same time frame. So that must have been probably an industry-wide, you know what, rotary's done.
Yeah, and then that's precisely what it was.
Now, they still make rotary phones, but they're digital rotary phones. They make them for the hipster market. You can buy a rotary phone, but when you turn the thing, it actually sends a pulse. So it still works like a normal nowadays phone. But look, I'm turning the dial, Scott. It's kind of just like a hipster, hey, look at this retro thing.
I haven't seen one like that. I have seen the ones where they still have like the rotary layout to the dial, but they're actual little push buttons.
Oh, no. I've seen newer ones that actually... But it actually sends us a digital pulse.
But it actually sends the DTMF. Okay.
So, yeah. But speaking of phones, let's stick on that. Scott, next time I call you, I'm going to dial 1010-220 first.
We've talked about this.
I know, but but the point is people don't know what 1010-220 or 1-800-COLLECT.
People don't know what non-international long distance.
Even when we started this show, Scott, when we had that phone line voicemail thing,
yes.
You used to always go, long distance charges will apply.
Yes.
And I would verbally smack you going, everyone's got a fucking cell phone. Nobody gets long distance charges anymore, you dick.
You never know.
You know, so even when
they
we started this show.
They do if they're calling from Bolivia.
You Skype. Skype's free. Skype's free worldwide, all right?
Anyway.
But yeah, it just, it kind of floors me that, like, one thing, I'm a comic book fan, you're not. Now, I have not run into this yet because digital comics are still so new. I'm afraid that by the time I'm an old man, an actual old man, there are going to be kids that have never picked up an actual comic book, but they've read every issue of Spider-Man kind of thing.
Sure.
That hits me a little bit right in the junk, you know? It does.
Yeah, I can understand that. And it's just like today where you hear the battle that people are having between an e-reader and a book. My wife, Dawn, loves her e-reader. She takes it with her where she goes, and when she wants to read, she pops it up. It's, you know, it's e-ink, so it's closer to actual ink than anything. But at the same time, there's you know, it's the old saying, spines are meant to be broken. And nobody who hasn't picked up an actual book, especially one of those big, thick paperback ones, doesn't understand that, you know, they're eventually you just open the book and it's on your favorite page or whatever.
Or you've read it so much, you open the book and the middle chunk of pages falls the fuck out because the glue is all gone to shit. Hey, well, you know, speaking of that, now some people have argued, and you probably will too, that well, it's good that people are reading. But like, 50 Shades of Grey and Twilight. We talked a little about it in the Why People Embrace the Dumb episode, but I consider that you're still not really reading.
No, you're reading. I mean,
you know. I mean, otherwise, by that definition of, well, it's still words, you know, then you read while driving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, stop. I read that stop sign. At least I'm reading.
Well, I will never disparage anyone from whether it's a digital comic book, a digital book, or a, you know, old newsprint paper comic book. If you want to read, I will always encourage you to read, period. Now, I may steer, you know, if I look and I see that all you're reading is Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey and stuff, I might go, all right, we'll take this in baby steps. Here's an R.L. Stine book, and then we'll get you a Judy Blume book, and then, you know, then we'll maybe talk about Harlan Ellison. But
eventually, maybe you'll work your way up to William Gibson or Philip K. Dick.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I may suggest that they read something different, but if they're reading, they're reading. And the friend of mine that owns the bookshop in Muncie and good friends of his, they had a daughter, and she used to come in and she would constantly read fluff, Harlequin romances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, that is the living embodiment of girly fluff.
Fabio on the cover.
But she was reading. And in school, when she had to read the stuff that really meant something, she was light years ahead of...
So are you saying all the Penthouse forums that I read, I was still reading, right?
You're still reading.
Even though I'm jerking off too?
Yeah.
All right. Well, another thing would be TV. Now, the kids nowadays, like for one thing, and I know I'm making a declarative statement here that you may or may not agree with.
Okay.
Kids in high school today have never known when The Simpsons were funny.
Not to us. No, they haven't.
You know, they have never known The Simpsons when The Simpsons was funny.
Okay.
But people nowadays, everything is Hulu'd or torrented. I mean, there's a reason that the TV networks are dying. remember how we used to, I really do not want to miss Miami Vice tonight. I've got to be home in time for Miami Vice. Nowadays, it's, well, my TiVo will get it, or I'll download it, or it'll be on Hulu tomorrow. Or mm-hmm. I mean, we used to schedule our lives around the TV. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good thing, but the modern generation just doesn't know what that's like to, hey, Miami Vice is on from 9 till 10 on a Thursday. All right? That's the only time it's going to be on. If you're not watching it, you don't see it.
Well, we've talked about this in the past, too, where there really hasn't been, excepting sports things like the Super Bowl, there really hasn't been a television event in a long, long time.
And I think part of the reason is the instant access. Because like the series finale of Lost, if that had come out 10 years earlier, that would have been a television event.
Yes.
But because of when it came out, everyone just said, if I miss it, I'll just download it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that it brings a laziness to the modern generation.
Or I'll just wait a few months and the whole series will be out on DVD and I don't have to worry about commercials.
That's the other thing. Let's go back to VHS for a minute. In the VHS era, you didn't get a whole lot of TV on DVD. Usually you got selected episodes, usually if they were two-parters, because they could edit them together and call them a movie then. You know, like Miami Vice the movie is the pilot, and Miami Vice 2 on VHS is the two-hour season 2 premiere. Mm-hmm. You know, those mm-hmm. kind of things. Nowadays, like you just said, you wait a couple of months and it's out and you can get the whole season commercial free. You had, back in our day, you had to hope that they reran that over summer.
Well, I remember it was a huge, huge deal. Again, my friends that ran the video store had all of Star Trek The Next Generation, all of them on VHS, every episode. And that was and then right below it, they had the entire run of Red Dwarf on VHS. And that was a big deal to me, because I'd go and I'd rent, you know, one tape and take it home and watch three episodes and bring it back and take, you know, the next tape and take it home and watch three episodes and bring it back. And but yeah, you know, and
I used to do that at the library. I'd just go rent. I mean, you got to remember Deep Space Nine didn't have a VHS release mm-hmm. yet, because that was still in new episodes. But you go get Classic Trek or Next Generations. And there are still certain ones that just have what I'm calling, this is pure nostalgia to me, a library feel. Like, I remember going and getting this Star Trek episode from the library and watching it like four times before in that week before I had to return it. You know, because back then, I don't know when I'm going to see the Omega Glory again.
Right.
Which,
or if you will, at all.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's just something lost. It meant more to you when you had to wait, when you had to search.
Well, and again, another good example of that was always the holiday, you know, like the Charlie Brown Christmas and stuff like
that. You can watch that anytime now because it's on fucking DVD and Hulu.
Right. Right. But I remember growing up, especially being in elementary school, you know, oh, Garfield's tonight. You're watching Garfield tonight. We're watching Garfield. Like, okay, we'll watch Garfield tonight, you know. And
you also had, that brings up, the modern generation, other than like maybe say a Super Bowl, they don't have the collected experience that we had. We knew when we were kids, when that Garfield Halloween special was on the day before Halloween, it's on at 7:30 till 8:30 on CBS on Thursday night. You knew all your friends were in front of their TV watching that with you.
Oh yeah.
It was a collective experience. You don't have that anymore.
You do and you don't. I mean, you do on, especially on like series finales or season finales and stuff like that. And then you can, you know, live tweet or Facebook about it, or, you know, earn your Get Glue sticker or stuff like that. I'll explain it later. You're looking at me like I just ate a baby.
I'm just, but, what? Okay, whatever.
But, you know, you do all of that and you live tweet. For instance, the Oscars. Brad Jones live tweeted the Oscars all night
long.
And
I've heard he was a lot funnier than Seth MacFarlane was too.
He was quite hilarious. He had some good ones. And then I posted on Facebook all night. And
yeah, I remember you blew the fuck out of my timeline, you fucker. My timeline, every fucking minute. Scott Murray. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking block him just for the night. I'll add him again tomorrow, but I'm blocking him for the night.
But yeah, and you can do that, and you kind of end up with this little collective. You really are watching together. But
again,
it's rare.
Yeah, but that is a big event, which you don't have all that often anymore. And I think that's kind of a shame that the modern generation doesn't really know what that is. Just like the modern generation doesn't seem to understand what it was like to not have a cell phone, to not be able to at any moment communicate with somebody else, to have to go, you know what? I forgot I got to tell my mom to do this. Can you pull over to a gas station so I can see if I can use theirs? Or good God, hopefully they have a payphone and then I've got a quarter.
Yep. Actually, no, I used to cheat payphones all the time.
Slugs?
Boop, call collect. You know, dial after the tone, please
again,
state your name.
Again, who the fuck uses collect nowadays?
Yeah, exactly. But you would, you know, after the tone, please state your name. Boop, hi mom, I'm at the student center. I need to get picked up by click.
I used to do not like that. We would use collect as a signal. Like, Ma, when I need to be picked up, I'll call you, and then you just refuse the charges, and then that's a signal.
Mm-hmm.
So it, kind of the same theory, but I did it a little less obvious.
My mom was always...
I was a little less obvious about it.
My mom was always too honest, unfortunately, for that.
Really?
You know, if for her to refuse the charges. No, you went to the trouble of dialing. You bothered people at the phone company. No, I didn't, Mom. Well, you bothered people at the phone company. So, all right, fine. But yeah. Oh, my dad's pager.
We were going to bring that up.
My dad's a surgeon, for those that don't know.
And just like too many other things, pagers are now such a fucking joke. I mean, like when you see them in all the old rap videos from the early 90s, and everyone's got their pager. That's just like this hipster meme joke now.
Well, what's funny is the very first pager that he had, I remember, and I remember well, because my mom was directing civic theater at the time. And it was the type of pager where, you know, now you just, you would pick it up, look at the screen, you would either get your text message on a really modern one or just the phone number on others, and that would be that. No. Dad's first pager, it would go, boo, boo, boop. Dr. Murray, please call blah, 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 blah. Dr. Murray, please call blah, 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 blah. And then,
Would be incredibly annoying if he was in a movie
Yeah, if he was in a movie or in a theater or something like that, he hated his pager going off because no volume control. He'd just have to sit there and like hold it against his stomach.
Muffle!
Shut up. And then when he went from, and that thing was about the size of a huge garage door opener.
Pagers. I always thought at any moment, are you gonna set the phaser to kill? Because I mean, it was like you were wearing a fucking phaser from Classic Trek there.
But to go from that to the small one with the little one line LCD.
Yep.
You know, and you would always have your friend's phone number, and you would say, okay, if it's an emergency, make the area code 911 or whatever, and you had that. And then on more modern ones, you would call the pager, it would be answered by an operator, you would tell the operator what message you would want, and she would text it to the four or five line pager readout.
I never had a pager. I've had to call them a few times for business reasons, and every now and then, I don't know if it's just some old holdover that they never got rid of with voicemail, but I'll be leaving a voicemail for some company, and it'll say, if you would like to send a numeric page, please press this. And I'm going, okay, what are you going to send it to? I highly doubt he's wearing a pager. If you're just going to send a numeric page to his cell phone, why don't you connect me to his cell phone? Yeah. It just seems like an unnecessary goddamn step, Scott.
Or even on cell phones, if you call and you actually leave a voicemail, which is an art that is quickly fading. Normally it's call, didn't answer, you know, or, oh, there's the beginning of the voicemail, I'll just hang up. He's got caller ID, he knows who called. You know, it would if you actually leave a voicemail at the very end, if you would like to leave a callback number, press 5.
Yeah, and I'm like, is that some just archaic old holdover?
I don't know, because I've I'm like, well, of course I want to leave a callback number. It's the call. It's the number I'm calling from. Caller ID. Duh. Remember the days before caller ID?
I remember when caller ID was the phone's ringing.
I have no idea who it is.
Oh, shit. It's a bill collector. God damn. Now I go, 414. Don't want to answer that. That's Milwaukee.
Exactly.
Yeah. Caller ID. We had a caller ID for the longest time. And, you know, it had separate battery. You had to wire it through.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, I still have a house phone because I need it for the internet. And it's got caller ID built right into the phone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but yeah, that used to be a separate thing that you had to get. Again, kids just don't get it. They don't understand what caller ID was.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, let's go back to movies for a sec. They don't understand the physical experiences we had to go through to go to a movie sometimes. Sturgeon Bay, 2 screens. So there's only, so a maximum. If you showed a movie once, or show one screen had 2 movies, you showed 1 at 7, 1 at 9, and the other screen did, maximum of 4 movies at any given time.
Right.
In the era of the multiplex, kids, they'd go crazy. 4 movies to choose from? Seriously? That's it? They don't remember waiting in line around the block.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having to wait in line around the block for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I don't remember what movie I was going to see, but it was the first date I had with a young lady named Blythe, and it was a very popular movie, and we walked to the movie theater.
That's because you had fewer screens. You didn't have the goddamn multiplex bullshit.
Yep.
People don't, like, modern kids, they see those, that old footage of, like, the, you know, people in 1973 from The Exorcist, 5 blocks of people waiting to see The Exorcist. And they're like, oh, God, what is that? You know, you just go to the theater across town or the other multiplex. No, you don't understand. That didn't exist, kid. It didn't. Are we just sounding like old men screaming at the clouds right now?
You really are. You really are.
Oh, and you're not?
I am not.
Wow, somebody's fucking fooling himself.
I am young and sprightly and ready to hang out with 20-year-olds. No, actually, I did that a while back. I hung out with 20-year-olds. I'm not ready to hang out with 20-year-olds. Good Lord.
Dude, they go ass to mouth nowadays. Clerks 2 reference? Never mind.
No, I got it. I just ignored it.
Okay. Well, even like with video games. Now, obviously, video games still have load screens. I mean, like, look at Mass Effect. Look at Mass Effect. Jesus Christ, the elevators. But modern video games don't tend to give you load screens. You get dialogue over it or something to cover load screens. Do you remember PlayStation 1 load screens?
It was just
usually, like, I remember Resident Evil. It'd be a door opening, and it'd be like a minute and a half, and you're just kind of like, I just want to shoot the zombie. What's even worse is if you accidentally hit the button to open that door and you didn't mean to, and you're just going right back in.
Mm-hmm.
You just go, Or
Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
Also, those load screens into battle.
Oh, yeah. Where, God.
It would swoosh out, and then you'd just sit, and you'd be like, all right, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight eventually, someday.
I'm going to go to the bathroom when I get back. Maybe I can start pushing buttons. Exactly.
And computers weren't any better.
Right. The other thing I was going to bring up was PC gaming. Now, you had to do this a little bit for, like, really big games like Mass Effect 3 and stuff, where you'd have to, like, insert Disc 3 to get to a certain mission and then back to Disc 2. You remember something like the FMV games, like Ripper, where insert Disc 2 to do this, 30 seconds later, you'd have to insert Disc 3 to do this option.
Mm-hmm.
Then 30 seconds later, Disc 1 to do that, because the shit was all stored in different areas on different discs. And it's like, I'm disc swapping like fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if I'm this far into the game, how about you put the options for this on the same disc as this part of the game? Maybe I'm not a pro. Maybe I don't know programming enough, but that just doesn't make sense to me.
My room, it was a form of rights management, believe it or not, back then. But my roommate had
so you couldn't play the game if you didn't have all the discs.
Exactly. My roommate in college, Andrew, had one of the. You remember the old CD-ROMs where you would actually have to put the CDs in the little holder, and then you would put kind of the cartridge in.
No, I don't remember those. You know,
well, they used to CD-ROMs. You would have to put the CD in kind of a cartridge and then insert the whole cartridge into the thing. And he had, he would keep like 8 or 10 spares of those.
Okay.
And then seventh guest, 6 CDs. And he would load up all 6 CDs, and he had this neat little track. It was a, he was an engineering major.
Oh, I think I've seen those. They actually sold some stuff like that. So you'd have, you could actually insert all the discs at the same time, so he, the computer would read what it needed.
He built this one, but basically it was a modified CD holder, one of the little tower ones, with a little Lego, quite literally a Lego push arm. So when it would say insert this disc, and it would pip, you know, pop one out. The little one arm Lego arm would snap down on it and pull it out. And then he would push down, like if he needed disc 6, he would move that. Sorry, he would move that cartridge into position and then push his other little Lego arm in order to put that disc in. And then when it popped out, he could go and he'd sit there and run this thing up and down in front of his CD-ROM. With his two little Lego arms all the time, and it was the greatest invention ever.
And, well, and some of those, okay, most people, I mean, people kind of threw a shit fit when Mass Effect 3 turned out to be 3 discs? Seriously? Guys, look at like a Phantasmagoria. I think that was 9 or 10 discs something of like games, that. Something like that. You people don't realize just how much space this shit used to take up on a CD.
And then, but yeah, and it was fun. I don't know. It was different.
It was irritating to me. I think it was bullshit if it was a really just all rights management, that why every 30 seconds am I putting a new disc in? If I'm on the mission that's in disc 2, all the options for that mission should be on disc 2. Not one of the options is on disc 3. 2 of the options are on disc 1. 1 option is on disc 4. That just, it doesn't make any sense. It's just making the player unnecessarily frustrated.
Well, then God forbid you get a game on 3.5-inch discs.
I played those. I remember that shit. They did the same bullshit. Mm-hmm. Insert disc 4. What do you mean disc 4? It only came with 3 discs. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Or...
all of a sudden, you realize it was a manufacturing error and you didn't get disc 4.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. So or
I remember installing Windows 3.1 off of 3.5-inch floppies. I think it came with 30, something
Jesus
like
Christ.
That.
Christ. Well, because you only get like, what, 1.4 megabytes or something?
1.44 megabytes.
Yeah, I'm like, you couldn't get shit on one of those quarter-inch discs. But we're running out of time. But I just want to say, anyone that's still in high school that's listening to this, if you have experienced these things we've talked about, I consider you lucky. I consider you somewhat privileged and not elitist. Or are we being elitist by saying you should have experienced what dial-up was, you little motherfuckers?
You're being a little elitist. I would say that if you're in high school and you've experienced some of this stuff, then you have perhaps a deeper appreciation for the stuff that you deal with today. And maybe next time you hear one of your friends go, oh my God, that game came with 3 discs. That's, you know, too many, blah, blah, blah. You can just punch them in the face.
You go, oh yeah, here's Phantasmagoria. Play this for a fucking couple of days, you little bitch.
Exactly. You know, and I think that it's important. I think it's even important for you and I to experience things that were outside of our generation. You know, the things that came before us, and experience those in order to appreciate what we had and what we have now.
I have, and I know you have too.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not being elitist in saying that anything is better than anything else, because things are just, yeah, that's your job. Things are just different.
Hey, hey, hey.
What
the fuck was that? It's my job.
It's your job.
Fuck you.
To be a contrarian.
I don't do it to be contrarian.
Do you disagree with me?
Yes.
See?
I saw you set me up too, and I'm like, but I can't say no. I can't say no even though I see him setting me up. God damn it.
My point is made.
Well played, sir. Lays down king. Well played, sir. Yes. So, guys, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC. to get all the Adam and Eve stuff. We could really use it. If you guys want to contact the show or donate anything, whether you got old magazines, tapes, old computers you want to send us or anything, email lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com if you want a street address, or that works for PayPal if you want to help out. Or
hit our Facebook
like that.
Page.
Yep. There's the Facebook page, which 9 times out of 10 is going to be Scott actually.
Or check out 1201beyond.com. And it's looking good now.
Yeah, Cassandra's getting the shit all built and she's adding all this shit. It's really looking good.
Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you next week.